Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. How many of you would love to manifest the love life of your dreams? And how many of you would like to manifest that perfect person sooner rather than later? If you answered yes to either or both those questions, you've come to the right place. Hello, my name is Dr. Karen Kann, and welcome to the Law of Attraction and Love radio show. Today's radio show is called When the Law of Attraction Doesn't Work for You. I'll also be answering questions from my readers from the Law of Attraction and Love website, which can be found at www.lawofattractioninlove.com. So thank you, everyone, first of all, for being here and spending time with me, whether you're listening to the live show where you can call in live or whether you're listening to this as an archive show. I know a lot of people listen to this afterwards because, just the time zone, you know, people that listen from all over the world. So thank you for being here. And thank you for all the questions I've received for the last several weeks. In fact, I really hope we get through as much as we can today because really, really awesome questions came in. So. But first, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the law of attraction and why it doesn't so-called work for people. Allow me to tell you a little bit about myself and how I got to this spot here teaching about this material. Many years ago, I was in an unhappy love relationship, 16 years, in fact, married to a man that probably wasn't the best match for me, but I recognize now that we attracted each other through our wounds. It's not the ideal way, you know, to attract someone. At least that was perfect for us at the time, but it didn't serve us in the long run. And we separated amicably, my husband and I. And at that point, I really, really wanted to attract my dream partner. And it took me a while to really fess up to what I really wanted, but many of you that know me know that I absolutely love figure skating, and I started as an adult about 12 years ago figure skating, and I had some opportunity to try pairs figure skating, and so that's when a man and a woman skate together, and you do tricks and throws and spins and stuff in the air, and I, as a child, I'd always dreamed about my perfect love partner, and here I am at five, you know, with these romantic notions, and my dream partner in my imaginations would always be swinging me around in the circle. I'd be flying through the air. And I think that has always stayed with me, and that's part of what I've always wanted, even as a child. So when finally I got my divorce several years ago, I decided, wow, you know, I have freedom now to really do what I've always wanted to do. So I set out looking for my dream partner, dream love figure skating partner. Unfortunately, I found out that in the world of figure skating, especially in the world of adult figure skating, there were very few men that skated pairs, and even fewer who I could have a love relationship with, because the majority of the men that skated were gay. And, you know, I have friends that are gay and I love them dearly, and it just wasn't going to work for me, you know. I certainly was willing to have a separate partner who wasn't a skating partner as a love partner, but that wasn't my ideal, and the universe knew it. And so it took me a while to really fess up that I wanted both in one. And let me tell you, there are very few people in this entire world who match up to my criteria that I had of who I wanted. So I wanted someone who was a figure skater and who had met all these qualities that I wanted in a love partner. And a little under a year from the point where I started doing this manifesting work, I did meet my dream partner. And interestingly enough, he was not a figure skater. I didn't even want to really give him a second chance, except just to be friends. But he took to the ice like a fish to water, and he has learned figure skating in about one quarter of the time that most adults learn figure skating, and in fact is an incredible athlete. And I'm so blessed to have such a gifted and loving person in my life, and his name is James. So that's my story, and from that point, I created the book Creating Your Fairytale Love Life. It's an ebook on my website at www.lawofattractionlove.com, where I go through the different steps on how to manifest anything, but mostly how to manifest the partner, love partner of your dreams. And I have a lot of students who ask, you know, why why isn't it working for me? You know, I understand the law of attraction. I understand that, you know, my thoughts lead to my reality. I understand those concepts, and it's not working. And in fact, you know, one of the readers have, her name is Malika, and she writes, "Hi, Dr. Karen, I've tried to use the law of attraction to find love, but it seems not to be working for me. I don't know if it's because I'm impatient or I'm not doing it right. I practice visualizing my ideal partner and even do my fair share of affirmations. What could be the problem here?" Well, there's a lot of sort of subtle and not so subtle things when trying to harness the law of attraction, Malika. And in your case, I may need a little bit more details, but I'm going to guess a little bit on what's going on. I think it's great, first of all, that you practice and put your energy and time visualizing your ideal partner and even doing your fair share of affirmations. And what I'm sensing from you, from your letter, is that what you call impatience. And that feeling of, why isn't this partner here for me yet? Why isn't he here? And I experienced this when I was manifesting as well, my ideal partner. And unfortunately, the main issue, I think, with what's happening with you is the frequency or the vibration, the main vibration that you're putting out. Okay, so what happens is, no matter what you do, whatever underlies your doing is a vibration or a frequency. And your frequency reflects your underlying thoughts and emotions. So it is possible that you are visualizing and doing your fair share of the affirmations. However, the underlying frequency may not be resonating with the frequency of abundance or already having your partner. Now, everyone close your eyes for a minute, just unless you're driving, but you know, close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to say this line. All right, so everybody close your eyes and say, "I want my ideal love partner." Okay, say that again. "I want my ideal love partner." Feel what that feels like in your body when you say it. Say it once more. "I want my ideal partner." Okay? Lock that feeling into your body. Do you feel it? Feel that, what that feels like? Okay. Now, I wanted you to change what you say. Instead, you're going to say, "I have my ideal partner." Again. "I have my ideal partner." Feel that in your body, with all the cells of your body. Once more, "I have my ideal partner." Okay, open your eyes. Now, how many of you out there noticed a difference in how your body felt when you said those two different lines? "I want my ideal partner," and "I have my ideal partner." Oh my gosh, even with my eyes open, it feels different to me. Now, maybe you couldn't feel the difference, but practice it again and see if you can really get into your body, feel the vibration within your body, feel what that feels like. Wanting, and the other half of it, which is not having it yet, okay? That's a vibration. The sense of, "I don't have it yet. It's not here yet. Why isn't it here yet?" Okay, that is a specific vibration. And that's a completely different vibration from, "I have it now." See what I mean? So despite, and this goes for everyone, not just Malika, despite everything you're doing, you know, the affirmations and visualizations, I mean, the reason you do the affirmations and visualizations is to help you get into that vibration of already having what you want in the now, in the present. It's only that ability to resonate with that you have in the unseen right now in this moment is how you manifest it in the future. That's the formula. So anytime that you notice yourself becoming impatient, just acknowledge and understand that you're vibrating at a frequency of lack or scarcity. The frequency you're sending out is, I don't have this person yet. And guess what? That frequency gets spread out to the universe. So the universe gives you more of that, more of, I don't have it yet. See what I mean? Same thing goes for money. And I'm not saying this is easy necessarily to switch how you feel, because obviously if you're noticing the lack in your life right now, it's really hard to manifest abundance. It really is. Instead, you need to notice what you have already that you appreciate and what you appreciate right now. So since you're already good at exercises, Malika, I would suggest that you focus on what you have right now that you enjoy. And I have to say, in my own life, the time when I finally met James and we got together was the time where I probably was the most unattached to finding my ideal love partner as I could ever be. I still wanted this dating partner badly, but it wasn't as desperate. And time had gone by, and it was almost 8 months, you know, until I got to this point where I kind of figured it out. Not that I knew I figured it out, but I can tell about it now. But what it was instead of, I don't have this person, I don't have this person, I don't have this person, it was like, you know what? I'm really enjoying my single life. This is really cool. You know, I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And I can decorate the house however I want. And I can go shopping and doing, you know, buy whatever I want, eat whatever I want. Boy, this is so great. I really, really appreciate this. Wow, you know, I can go to these workshops and not have my husband or partner balk at, you know, the money I'm spending on these workshops. And this is so awesome. You know, and what happened was I was sending out this vibration of awesome, awesome. I love my life. This is so great. This is so awesome. And it wasn't about lack or not having my partner yet. I was just enjoying my single skating. I was just enjoying my entire life. And it is that vibration that needs to be sent out, because that is what pulls in what you want. Get it? Make sense, everyone? Okay, let's move on. So, when the law of attraction doesn't quote-unquote work for you, one of the issues is, in summary, you're sending out the wrong vibration. You're sending out a vibration of lack and noticing that you don't have it yet. And instead of concentrating and focusing on what you do have and what you do appreciate in the now, because only what you do appreciate in the now, that vibration, will help you attract what you want in the future. Okay? So there's lots of different reasons why people try to use the law of attraction and it doesn't work for them, and I've covered some of that in a previous show that you can look up. But one of the other issues I've noticed is that, and this is, I mentioned it before in another show, but I'm going to say it again because it is so important, is the amount of energy that you are putting out, that you're able to generate in your field, in your body. Some people cannot generate a lot of energy, partly because they have an illness, or partly because, you know, they're depressed, or, you know, the amount of vibration that you can produce, I should say how big it is, you know, it is proportional to how quickly and how well you can manifest. So people that have a big vibration usually can manifest much faster. Now, if they have a big vibration that happens to vibrate lots of negative things or negative thoughts, then, yeah, they'll bring lots of negative stuff to them as well fairly easily. But also, if you have a very big so-called positive vibration, the vibration of joy and passion and those kinds of vibrations, then you will bring the things that you want or the things that you like more into your life, because those are in alignment with abundance. So what constitutes how big your vibration is? Well, one of the things is just the health and well-being of your physical body. So there's good reasons to take care of your physical body. You do live in the physical material world, which has its own sets of laws and limits. like to think that we're unlimited beings, and we are in the spiritual sense. But when we're manifested here in the material world, we do need to abide by certain material limits. And what that means is that take care of your body. You know, get enough sleep, eat good quality food, you know, get rid of the junk food, get rid of the extra caffeine. Look at your relationships and, you know, work on them. Work on your spiritual health, not just your physical health, but all those things will help you generate a bigger vibration. And what does a bigger vibration feel like? Well, you know what? It feels like a couple of different things. One is peace, this general feeling of all is well. No matter what's happening in the outside world, there's a sense that all is well and all is as it should be. And it's the feeling I get, or the vibration that I feel in my body when I feel this way. It's a very settled, calm, almost, you know, grounding kind of energy. It's very peaceful. And then the other big vibration that I'm particularly good at generating is one of enthusiasm or passion. You know, big energy is created when you have passion and enthusiasm for something. And some people think desire is a bad thing, but it's not. If desire leads you to have this big passion, it's great. The difference between that desire and wanting, so to speak, is that in the sense, wanting is a reflection of not having enough, whereas desire is what I consider desire is that passion to manifest, to grow, to expand. And to enjoy life, and I don't personally feel there's anything wrong with that. So wherever you can get your big energy from, do it, because that will help you manifest what you want. You need passion. It was really interesting. I was doing a workshop recently. I did quite a few 2-hour workshops on the Law of Attraction, and I had them do this specific exercise where everyone had to shift their energy into passion mode. They had to get excited and scream and jump up and down and, you know, that kind of thing. And you would be amazed at how uncomfortable it was for certain people to do this exercise. They knew it was an exercise behind closed doors, but yet it was so uncomfortable for them to get into that mode. They were taught young, when they were very young, that it was wrong to be that excited. How sad is that? That somehow it was wrong. It was embarrassing or whatever it was. And so it was hard for them to break out of that shell, but I was asking them to do it on purpose, to make that big vibration on purpose, to do it on cue. When you can do that, wow, that is powerful. You are a powerful manifester. So big energy. So be passionate. Whatever you can find to be passionate about, be passionate. Be passionate and be enthusiastic. Take care of your body. That will help your manifesting. We don't have time to go over the other 7 or 9 other things that I could think of to talk about, to explain when the Law of Attraction doesn't work. So let's continue to answer some questions. We have a lot of questions here. So I have a question from Julianne. And Julianne writes, "Dear Dr. Karen, how can I shake my fears and old beliefs for good? Thank you so much." You're welcome, Julianne. You know, Julianne, you've pointed out a very, very good point for us to discuss today, because guess what? What you've said is one of the reasons why the Law of Attraction doesn't, quote-unquote, work for some people. Now, I'm going to clarify something. The Law of Attraction works all the time, okay? It's just that we think when we don't get what we want that it's not working. So when I say when the Law of Attraction doesn't work for us, what I'm saying, I'm putting work in quotes, is that we're not getting what we intended, or at least the outcome intended, even though we're trying to use the Law of Attraction, okay? So that's what I'm talking about. The Law of Attraction always works, but I'm talking about when we don't get what we want when we say we want it and what the problem is. And Julianne has pointed out that our fears and our old beliefs are actually one of the reasons why we don't get what we want. Our fears and old beliefs that no longer serve us actually block us from manifesting what we want. So our emotions, now I usually like to divide these into what I call all they are energy states. However, when the energy states don't do what they're supposed to do, which is to come and then leave, when they are pervasive and they stay and they hang around, usually then it becomes an obstacle. So let me repeat that. This is a very, very important point. There is a misconception out there that in order for the law of attraction to work the way you want it to work, that you have to be happy all the time, that you have to be smiling and you have to be, you know, happy and joyful and laughing. You know what? That's great, but we're human beings. We have a variety of emotions, and you are allowed to feel yucky sometimes. You know, you are allowed to feel sad and angry and fearful, whatever it is. There's no problem to feeling those feelings. And in fact, trying to cut yourself off from those feelings when they're a natural part of our human existence does you more harm than good. They're just energy states. They're only a quote-unquote problem or an obstacle when they last forever. And the reason they last forever is because we often don't accept them. And in accepting them and understanding that they're just energy states that will come and go, then they leave our bodies. The problem is a lot of people resist feeling those feeling states, and thus they hang on to them long term. I used to be an expert at this. Ooh, really good. Let me tell you, I'm like the poster child of emotional hang-ups. Okay, I mean, I was so negative about feeling angry. I would not allow that energy field into my body. There were very good reasons, and the universe gave me lots of reasons to practice feeling that energy state of anger, but I refused to do it. I refused to accept that it was okay to do that because I was a nice girl, and nice girls don't get angry, you know? And so it took a lot of work for me to understand that it's okay to be angry. It's just the reason that it's a problem is that you take it personally, first of all, and when it's not, it's just an energy state. When you're really thinking it, really. Are like poison to our wants and desires and our bodies sometimes, especially when we have long-term, you know, grief that has not been resolved and long-term anger that has not been resolved. I do integrative medicine and acupuncture, and I know some bits of Chinese medicine, and my understanding from Chinese medicine is that emotions that are not resolved through past events can literally poison the body and become even cancerous. So old anger can become cancerous, resentment, that sort of thing. So what do we do? What do we do when we recognize that we have these non-supportive or pervasive so-called negative emotions and they are blocking us from getting what we want? Well, the first thing we do is acknowledge them. So acknowledge that it's okay that they're there, that we have them. We're human beings. Acknowledge them. Okay, I'm in fear, you know, or I'm feeling this energy. The more accurate thing would be to say, I'm feeling this energy vibration of fear. And acknowledging the old beliefs and saying, okay, I have this old belief that, I'll just make something up here, I have this old belief that men are no good and they're going to abandon me. Okay. And of course, that's not a really helpful belief, a non-supportive belief if you're wanting, you know, a happy love life. So once you acknowledge those things, then you have some choice. Then you can literally consciously choose to let go of them, to work on them, or to feel them. It actually is important, especially with the emotions, to feel them first. Don't try to let it go without feeling them, because it's not possible. You need to be able to acknowledge and feel them in your body, let it be there, and it's safe, to the extent that your body can stand that particular vibration. And then you can consciously choose to let it go. And there are many different helpful methods or technologies that you can use to help you do that. And I have a couple that I've talked about in my ebook, my Creating Your Fairytale Love Life ebook, where I've linked to some YouTube videos that teach you how to do some of the technique. One of the techniques is the Sedona method. And the Sedona method is popularized by Hale Dvoskin, who is a popular teacher, and he was also on the movie The Secret about the Law of Attraction. And the Sedona method is very simple, and he asks you simple questions on letting go, and you just repeat them over and over again. And a lot of people feel a release, a physical release in their body when they do this exercise. Now, because I'm an acupuncturist, I tend to use the other technique I mentioned in my book, which is the Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT, and you can get a free download at the EMO Free. Yeah, EMO Free, I think, .com, where you can get a free download. Anyway, there's a link from my book to the website where there is even though you can have influence over someone else, they have the freedom of choice and they have their own spiritual wish that comes through in this lifetime to manifest what they're supposed to manifest in this lifetime, and you don't have that kind of control over someone. And if you want that kind of control, if you want to make someone love you, the underlying energy field that's resonating in your body is one of fear. Why? Why do I say that? It's fear and it's scarcity. So if you needed someone to love you forever, there must be an underlying thought that, first of all, you are not enough. Otherwise, you know, if somebody didn't love you, that's not good enough. So there's a feeling of you're not enough by yourself. The second thing is that the loving me forever part is that if someone stops loving you, what does that reflect on you? Or what are your thoughts on why, you know, that happens? So a lot of people feel when people so-called stop loving them that there must be something wrong with them. So wanting someone to love you forever or making that person love you forever, that wish actually comes from thinking that is based in fear and scarcity, that somehow there's not enough love in the world, that you have to make this one person love you. Otherwise, there's not enough love. So there could be more complexity to that, but that is a big red flag, you know, when you say, first of all, that you want to make him love you, and second of all, you make him love you forever. Truth be told, the happiest, most amazing relationships that I've ever been in or ever witnessed are those relationships that actually have what I call an open door policy. Now, what I mean by that, it's not that everybody just goes and stops, you know, they date and then they like just take off the next day when they don't feel like dating anymore. No, that's not what I mean by an open door policy. What I mean is that each partner recognizes that all they have is the now, right now, and they enjoy each other to the fullest in the now, but they don't go in the future and say what they're going to feel or do because they don't know the future and they understand that. They may have an intention about growing together in the future, doing things together in the future, but there's no implied guarantee. And your willingness to let go that of that person whenever that person's time is up. And some of the best relationships that I've seen and witnessed are not relationships that last for 75 years. Not to say that those aren't good relationships, but the longevity of the relationship has in no way a direct correlation with the quality of the relationship. Hate to spoil that for people. Sometimes short relationships can have better quality than long relationships. So you don't need to ask for forever is the bottom line. And you don't need to ask for to be able to make someone love you. You can give your love and you can give yourself love and allow that person to love you in whatever capacity they can and allow them to leave when it's time for the relationship to end gracefully. That's what I would consider the ideal. It doesn't mean that you can't manifest someone to ask you to marry him, because that is possible. Again, you can't make someone ask you. but if you can get into a space where you're open and willing to let people feel whatever they feel and enjoy your relationship in the now, then you're going to be a lot less heartbroken, and that's my theory anyway. And as far as making you happy forever, guess what? That's not their responsibility. It's not the other person's responsibility to make you happy at all. You know, I struggled a lot with this with my family. Years ago, my parents held us responsible for their happiness. And let me tell you, it's very, 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 what is it? Very difficult to be responsible for someone else's happiness. You are responsible for your happiness. I am responsible for my happiness. When we try to be responsible for each other, you know what? We screw up. That's just the bottom line. Excuse my language. That's what we do. We screw up. We can never make someone happy. They either choose to be happy or they choose not to be happy. And it can be a very frustrating and tiresome thing to think that we can make someone happy. Sometimes we do things and they show pleasure in what we do. Sometimes we do things and they show displeasure. But you know what? That's really their choice to show either one. And that should have nothing to do with your happiness, whether or not you make somebody else happy. You know what I mean? Now, we say those things all the time, make so-and-so happy, or, you know, and I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with intending good things for someone as long as you're being true to yourself and as long as you don't expect it. When you don't expect the other person to be happy or not happy or are attached to how they should feel, then you're probably on the right track. So your job is to make you happy. When you make you happy, more than likely, you will have a happy partnership because that other person is not responsible for making you happy, and you're not responsible for making them happy either. We could do a whole show just on this one issue, but we're going to move on. So, Noor, I hope that was helpful, and I, you know, highly recommend that you get some more books. And one of them is Conscious Loving, one of my favorites, by Gay and Kathleen Hendricks. Again, that's Conscious Loving. That will explain a lot about relationships. And the other one is Secrets to Relationships by Keith Leon. And you can get that at www.relationship/masters.com. Relationship/masters.com. 7 Steps to Successful Relationships is their book. So the next question is from Arlen, and Arlen asks, how can I make my partner give me more loving feelings? How can I have a relationship that lasts a long time? Thanks for accommodating my question. Well, you can't make your partner have more feelings of love for you. What you can do is you can have more feelings of love for you, yourself, and you can have more loving feelings towards your partner, and hopefully they will mirror that to you. But understand that you are full and whole all by yourself. You don't need necessarily a partner to feel good. And if you're requiring and needing a partner to feel good, that means there's some scarcity or lack mentality or emotion in your system, in your body, in your energy field, and that you will manifest, unfortunately, more lack and possibly more suffering in your relationships with others. So I encourage you to really look at why you need this. And there's nothing wrong with wanting it, but just be clear on what it is that it's going to give you. It's possible that you can give yourself what this partner does not give you, or it could very well be that you need to change your behavior so you get what your needs are in a relationship. So you may very well, you know, learn to communicate better with your partner and say, look, you know, the way I feel loved is when, fill in the blank, you know, when you make me tea and get me my slippers, I really feel loved. Or when you listen to me cry and talk about my issues and you pat me on the back and give me a hug and kiss, I really feel loved then. You know, sometimes it's just a communication thing. Your partner has no idea what you want or need. And so we need to learn to communicate those things to our partner. And traditionally, especially if the partnerships are a little bit older and the new age, you know, guys are much more communicative, it seems. But in the old days, you know, so the men that are reaching their 50s and 60s and 70s were not taught to be very demonstrative as children. I mean, they were taught that they were sissies if they were to show their feelings. And so the way in which they show their love could be very different from the way in which women show their love. Sometimes it's a sex difference. Sometimes it's a cultural difference. And I know my parents had issues with this early on, and I think for quite a while into their relationships, where my mom really wanted my dad to say, I love you. I mean, that was her thing. She wanted to. to cart me around to ballet and whatever other, you know, appointments that I had. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. He did so many wonderful things for us and never once said, I love you. I mean, not in that way. But that's where the communication is. And I actually, you know, kind of cornered him one year. This was a couple, several years ago. And I had this really, really deep heart-to-heart talk. I probably scared him, you know, to do this. It scared me as well to do this. But, boy, I give him a lot of credit for, you know, at 60-something years old, sitting down with his new-age daughter and having this heart-to-heart talk. He was never really had one of those in his lifetime, probably. And I just asked him, how come you never say this? And he says, you know, I'm really embarrassed. It's, we didn't do this in our culture, and it's not my natural state. And, you know, at that point, I really understood and became compassionate that I was really asking too much of him. That it was such a huge cultural shift for him. And then I understood that, yeah, he loved me. And then it was my hang-up about why I needed to hear it that way. And so, you know, just trying to understand how each of us, what we want and need, communicating that to our partners will at least give them some hint on what will be helpful for us. And sometimes it's so simple, they don't even know. I mean, a lot of guys, there's this great book called You Just Don't Understand by Deborah Tannen. It's a wonderful book on the communication differences between the sexes. So that's You Just Don't Understand by Deborah Tannen. And I love this book because my husband and I used to get into these arguments, and then after reading the book, it changed completely. You know, we would get into these little bickering arguments where, you know, I would come home, say, sad or something or frustrated from work, and then my husband would go and start trying to fix the situation and tell me what to do and tell me how I should have managed things. And, you know, I would just get mad at him, because I was being a typical female and wanting not advice from my male partner, but wanting empathy. And empathy to me was, you know, him sitting down beside me, looking in the eye and, you know, listening to what I'm saying and going, okay, so I understand you're feeling frustrated, or, oh, wow, that must be really hard for you, or, gee, you sound really sad. And then giving me a big hug, and that's it. No fix it, no giving me advice. No, telling me how I should do it, that's it. And you know what? Once my husband learned that, he goes, oh, my gosh, this is easy. He knew exactly what to do. If I came home in a bad mood, I'd say, I'm in a bad mood and I need to talk. And he'd be like, okay. You know, so he'd sit there, you know, on the couch, and he would just hold my hand and let me blab, blab, blab and cry and the whole bit and give me a hug, and then I feel better. And that was it. So all we needed was the knowledge that we communicated differently and needed different things from each other. And vice versa for guys. Guys often don't need the same thing women do. They don't necessarily need to feel the same. Sometimes when guys finally ask for advice, they actually want somebody to tell them how to do it or how to fix it. You know what I mean? Because that's what they do. That's the only time they ask you, is if they really want advice, you know, and that's your typical male response. Anyway, that's a great book. I'm summarizing it very quickly, but that could be the issue. So I highly recommend anyone, and maybe Arlen, if you feel it's a communication issue, to get that book so you can understand each other better. And in terms of a relationship lasting long, you know what? You need to nurture it. And the ways you nurture it are really by understanding yourself and understanding how you tick, where you came from, what your blocks and what things that you need to heal from your past relationships, especially from your parents, so you know what this relationship is for and what the purpose of this relationship is for. And when you can do that, then there's all these different aspects of the relationship that you can grow. Obviously, it does require a partner who wants to do the same, but it does take energy. And I hate the word work. You know, I hate the word work. It does take energy to put into relationships. I don't understand why, and I thought this was really funny when I finally realized it, but I don't understand why, you know, people get that in order for your car to last long, you need to take care of it, you need to do your oil changes, you need to take the salt off, you know, in the winter when there's snow and there's salt on the road, and, you know, check your tire pressures and rotate your tires and, you know, wax your car and, you know, all that stuff. You need to take care of it. Otherwise, it deteriorates, right? Well, how come we don't put that much attention and energy in our relationship? What happens is we get together, we like somebody, we get married or, you know, hang out, whatever it is, and that's it. And we never actually put the energy into working on the relationship. We just go on this autopilot. And unfortunately, this autopilot is from conditioning that we had since our childhood based on stuff we saw, heard, and were modeled, you know, in front of us by our parents and teachers and loved ones. So here we are, two adult people on autopilot in a relationship that can last decades, and things never change. You know, so we actually, in order for a relationship to last long, if that's your intention, you want your intention to also be that you grow and that it's, you know, enjoyable too. There's lots of relationships that last a long time that I would prefer not to be in because they're full of conflict or they don't talk to each other, they don't communicate, they don't grow. I mean, it's just not my preference, you know what I mean? So the length of a relationship, as I said before, has nothing to do with the quality. So you want to intend quality relationship that you can enjoy, and if you want, for a long time. And sometimes it's not meant to be. Sometimes you have tried and tried and tried. This is what happened with my husband and I. We tried and tried and tried and tried and, you know, to fix the relationship and to do this. And finally, I mean, it took a long time before my husband finally agreed to go to counseling. And we did that, and that really, really was helpful. Even though we separated, it was still very helpful because it really got us clear on what we wanted. And eventually, basically, what we wanted was different things. And I had not been a very truthful person up until that point. I just did what I thought I should do as a good wife, and I was not honest about how I really felt about a lot of things. And so when it became the real me, boy, I'm not sure that was, you know, we were going to jive and live together for long periods of time. But we made a lot of effort to, you know, try again and try again and develop and change and shift and, you know, and it was 16 years of that. So at the end of that, you know, we did the best we could. And so we separated, and it was the best decision to do that because we're both much happier in our, you know, current lives and our current relationships. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Arland, and let us move on. I recently sent a newsletter out to my email list about soulmates and soul twins. And so Lucianne wrote that she was a twin. She was a physical twin with her sister, and they're very close and feel totally at one when we are together, like many twins do. She asks, are we soul twins? Her second question is, secondly, regarding manifesting and meeting a soulmate, when you say fall in love with you and it's mirrored in another, does that mean your soulmate also feels the same? In other words, they are two mirroring themselves in you? I would love and appreciate quick answer to these questions. I love your newsletters. I'm very grateful for your excellent teachings. I wish you health, wealth, happiness for you and James. Love, Lucy Ann in the UK. Well, thank you, Lucy Ann. That's so sweet. I really appreciate you saying that. So we talked in my last newsletter, if you were, if you happen to be on my list, about soul twins and soulmates, because someone had asked about whether or not there's just one love that we're supposed to manifest in our lifetime, and that's it. And my answer was that there is a misconception in our society that when you're looking for your soulmate lover, that there's only one person in the entire world in your entire lifetime that matches that person. And many spiritual teachings in the metaphysical teachings have taught us that we can have many soulmates, and these are people that we feel extremely connected to. Even if we see them for short periods of time, we still feel very, very connected to them. We don't forget about them. We have a lasting, you know, connection with that person. And there can be more than one soulmate in our lives, and they don't necessarily need to be a lover. They can be a sister, a mother, a brother, you know, friend, that sort of thing. Now, a soul twin, on the other hand, is different. The spiritual teaching is that when you are manifested, your spiritual being is almost split into two halves, so to speak. And there is like a mirror image of you out there. And this soul twin may or may not manifest in your current lifetime, but sometimes can. At least that's what some of the spiritual teachings teach us. And there's a great, I found this great little article on the on the web here, and I'm trying to figure out where that is. Anyway, let's see if I can get it. Okay, Spirit Side, spiritside.net. they're actually teaching people how to find their soul twin. And what they say is soul twins pretty much know that they are soul twins. And one of the discerning characteristics of soul twins is that you know how each other feel even though you're like thousands of miles away. So you have really close emotional bonds. So if one you know of the soul twin is feeling sad and frustrated, the other can feel it miles away. And sometimes you can feel other things that are happening. They talk about a story that, you know, one of them felt sudden choking and called the other twin up. And she had just been joking, you know, a few moments earlier. They also say if you have to ask whether you're soul twins, you probably aren't. but you can be soulmates, though. So a physical twin, identical twins, can often be soul twins, but not always is the answer. You can be also soulmates. And your second question, which is... when I was saying that when we fall, quote unquote, fall in love with someone, what we're often doing is falling in love with parts of them that mirror parts of ourselves. And that is true for the other person as well, whether they consciously know it or not. So the cool thing is learning to love all the parts of yourself and accept all the parts of yourself more and more will actually make it much easier to fall in love. it's like the other person mirrors the divine essence in you, so to speak. So what you're seeing in them is that part of yourself that you really love and appreciate, whether you know it or not. And the more you love and appreciate yourself, which was my point in the article, the more amazing that connection can be with the other person. So hopefully that answers your question, Lucianne. All right, let's move on to the next one. Here's one from, let's see, Cindy. Cindy writes, I think I have found the person of my dreams through the law of attraction. Woo! He and I are beginning to develop both a very nice friendship and love relationship. Now that he's in my life, I know I'm not supposed to ask for a specific person when I ask for love, but I want to continue to ask the universe for help in this relationship. How should I proceed? Well, Cindy, you know what? You're taking the rule, so to speak, of not being attached to the person being the ultimate or the dream partner for you to like the nth degree that you don't need to. So what I'm saying is that now that you have this relationship and you really have vested energy in the relationship and you are enjoying the relationship, then do that. Just appreciate it and enjoy it, and don't worry about whether or not this is your dream partner, you know, so to speak, because right now you're in a relationship and there's so much to be learned from that relationship. You'll know at some point, you know, whether or not this is your dream partner or not, especially if you've made your list. You know, I usually make everybody have their laundry list at the beginning of my book, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life. Everybody makes a laundry list about all the things they want in a partner. And it sounds like from your letter that this person matches a lot of that. Because you say you found this person of your dreams. So don't worry about, having to ask for a specific person. How you use the law of attraction is that you intend or that you ask, you know, the universe to support you in your current relationship, whoever that is. Not that, you know, that it's all going to work out, you know, perfect, but that that you enjoy, you know, this relationship, and to ask for those things to come into your life that will deepen your relationship and deepen your knowledge of yourself. So what you can do is, you know, sit down and make your laundry list of how you'd like your ideal love relationship to be. What would you like to be doing? What would you like to be enjoying together? What kind of feelings come up? What kind of lifestyle do you guys want to live? You know, and even though I know you're not supposed to be attached to it being that particular person, well, you have this person in front of you, so you can use that. You know, you can use that person in front of you and use your visualizations and all that kind of stuff and let them know what you're doing, you know, and see where it goes. So you can definitely ask the universe for help in the relationship. and you can do all the same steps you do in the law of attraction, you know, with intention and, you know, belief and removing obstacles. And in relationship is a really, really great opportunity to really see the obstacles when conflicts arise and know that you can get past them and it's no big deal and you just grow bigger than those conflicts and you grow bigger than your old conditioning. It's really a wonderful, wonderful thing to experience. So you're doing great, Cindy. Congratulations. Enjoy. That's the number one thing. Enjoy your relationship and appreciate your relationship as much as you can. All right, next question is from Jenny. Jenny says, if you start to think about someone you knew 21 years ago and contact that person, does it mean he was consciously or unconsciously attracting you back into his life? The reason she asked this is she says, I've recently reunited with someone I knew in grade school. I decided to look him up through Google and found him on someone's wedding site. Someone's wedding website. I contacted her and she sent him my email. We've been talking ever since. Well, very simply, Jenny, the answer is yes. So you've been thinking about someone you knew 21 years ago and you connected with that person. And so on some level, probably unconsciously, unless he told you he was looking for you, unconsciously, he was attracting you back into his life. Now, does it mean that it necessarily is a romantic relationship that's, you know, built perfectly and you're going to live happily ever after? I don't really know. It could very well mean that there are some issues that you need to heal with this person, and that's it. Or you could need closure. Or it could be that this is your dream partner and this, you're meant to be with each other, you know? So I don't really know why you know, he unconsciously wanted you back in his life, but it's true. So if you're connecting and you're talking, then, yeah, his unconscious drew in your vibration because it was the same, and at least it was accepting, and you can see where it goes from there. Yeah, so I hope that answers your question. All right, so let's move on. We've still got lots of questions to cover. Okay, let's see. We have one from Wafa. Hello, Dr. Karen. Well, some of my relatives know a person working in the British Airways. They keep telling me that he looks good, he sounds good, he looks exactly like I really like, I really want, and they would like me to do anything to see him and meet him, as I have my sister lives abroad and we go to visit her via this airline. So later, I got a job in a Brazilian company as a travel coordinator, and accidentally, I started dealing with this man in specific. Now, Wafa, that's pretty amazing. That is what we call a synchronicity. Okay, I'm going to continue her letter. I heard about the law of attraction during this time. I started calling him every day to check the reservations with him. He seems nice, and I started thinking he might be the one and why I met him this time exactly. The problem is that I don't know if he was engaged or married, and there isn't any way to know unless I ask him, and I couldn't do that. I started using the law of attraction, and I'm thinking of him always. It might be strange, but there is something strong that attracted me to him. I don't know what to do and whether to convince myself to stop thinking of him or continue to be optimistic is when I try to convince myself to quit, and I'm wondering why I start dealing with him directly after a long time of my relatives talking about him. And I heard about the law of attraction at the same time. Is it possible or does it make sense? I don't want to waste my time and my energy in something wrong. I'll be waiting for your advice. Well, Wafa, there probably is a reason, you know, why you were meeting him. It seems like you were kind of set up in a way by your family, but you synchronistically got a job where you had to be a travel coordinator, where you would have the opportunity to deal with this particular person. Like, wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, it sounds like you really enjoy, you know, connecting with this person. But I'm wondering why with all the synchronicities, and those are happy coincidences, by the way, for those that don't know the term synchronicity, why you say that you don't know if he's engaged or married and there isn't any way of knowing unless you ask him and you couldn't do that. So obviously you're dealing with him on a professional level and it sounds like you're not very willing or comfortable to ask him where he's at. Well, you know, you're not going to know, you know, necessarily without asking him. And, you know, my approach is I kind of like the direct approach. And one of the reasons why is because I don't want to waste my time. I don't think you want to waste your time either. You said you don't want to waste your time and your energy if this isn't the person for you. And you're spending a lot of energy thinking of him. And I don't think you could stop thinking about him if you tried. I mean, the more you'd resist thinking about him, you'd probably think about him more, you know? So you might as well go with the flow. And you're thinking about him a lot. And you might as well take a chance. Now, you can do this somewhat professionally. But it could, I suppose, be embarrassing if he said he was engaged or married, and maybe you would blush on the end of the phone, and then you would feel embarrassed when you talked to him each time. But that's up to you to get over that. I think if you really don't want to waste your time or your energy, the simplest thing is to stretch yourself and do the next step, which is to ask him. And there are ways in which you can do it professionally, and truthfully and honestly, without playing games, because I don't think playing games is very nice. It's inauthentic, and inauthentic doesn't set you up for good relationships. So I want you to think about that. How will you get your answer? You know, playing games would be like, for example, getting someone else to find out for you and then emailing you about it and so you'll know, and then but he won't know how you found out. You know what I mean? That's kind of like playing games. I don't like that very much. I kind of like the direct approach. And maybe a lot of people would disagree with me, but you know what? It works for me. You'll have to decide whether it works for you. All I know is that the universe often asks us to stretch beyond our comfort zone in order to get what we want. And that means making our energy bigger. And making our energy bigger means sometimes doing things that we are afraid of. Now, obviously, you know, doing things that we're afraid of that it might risk our life is probably not a good choice. But in this case, doing what you're afraid of, which is to ask him if he is with someone, is possibly the stretch that the universe is asking you to do. Yeah, you certainly have lots of synchronicities point to you in this person's direction. He may or may not be your ideal partner, but maybe the universe just wants you to practice stretching, wants you to practice being real and being authentic, you know? And you could even say it in such a way where you say to him, you know, I hope I'm not, you know, you can say to him, I'm hoping I'm not sounding unprofessional, but, you know, I want to just tell you how much I enjoy interacting with you. And you could leave it at that, you know, for one, you know, time that you talk to him. And then another time, you know, you could do the same thing where you appreciate his help and that sort of thing. And you could just, you can just ask, you know, I'm curious. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I'm really curious as to, you know, whether you're romantically attached. Like, do you have a girlfriend or, are you married? And maybe he'll say yes, maybe he'll say no, and you can make laugh about it a little bit. And you know what? You might feel embarrassed, but you know what? You can get over it. Get over with it. It's not worth wasting your time to run around the bush and try to, you know, just figure out some other spiritual intuitive way. I mean, you could do that, but gosh, you know, just ask him. Ask him and tell me what happens. All right. So, Wafa, that is your question for the day. And let's move on to the next one. Okay. We have a bunch that are similar, so I'm just going to read them all in a row, and then I'll answer it all at once. So we have Amber, who asks, how do I get a boyfriend? And then we have Carolyn, who asks, how and what do I need to do to attract the right man into my life? And then we have Ollie, who asks, how do I attract my ideal partner? And Elizabeth, who asks, how can I attract a nice guy and keep him to me? Okay, now the keep him to me part, I think I've already answered. You cannot keep anyone to you that does not want to be with you. So you don't want to put that energy out there. What you want to put is the intention of enjoying whoever you're with for whatever time you have and just letting it be that way. So that whole keep him to me part has to do with scarcity and not having enough. And that's not the energy you want to put out to the universe. Okay, but the basics here for everyone is how do I get a boyfriend? How do I attract the ideal partner? Well, the best thing to do is, or I shouldn't say the best thing, the first thing you need to do is be clear and specific about what type of person you want to attract. And I go through all the steps on how to attract your ideal partner in the Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life ebook that's found on my webpage, www.lawofattractionlove.com. So I do highly recommend you pick up a copy of the ebook and start working through the steps. It's actually a workbook. So you don't just read it and put it down. You actually have to do the work. So you have to answer the questions and do the exercises and, you know, complete them. If you just read it and then don't do any of the exercises, it's not necessarily going to help you. So, but let me tell you the first step. So the first step is to become clear and specific about what type of person you want to manifest. Now, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you what I asked for when I manifested James. Now, I changed this a little bit along the way as I got to know myself more and got into other relationships that didn't work as well as I'd like, and then I became more and more and more specific. So I asked, you know, for someone who was good-looking, who was a skater, and who would skate with me and would enjoy skating and competing with me. Okay, that was a big part. I wanted to compete, so he needed to want to compete with me. We had to look good together on the ice, and I needed him to be intuitive and very loving and caring. And since I had the experience with my ex-husband where I did a lot of the caregiving, I wanted someone who could caregive for me for a change. So someone who knew how to take care of me and liked giving massages, because I really like massages, and liked cooking, because I don't like cooking that much. I also wanted him to be good around the house. So I live on a 5-acre property, and I'm a city girl, so I have no idea how to take care of it. So I really, really wanted someone who was good at that and liked doing that. And I wanted somebody, I mean, ideally, the right height for me to pair skate with, so 5'8 to 5'10. And somebody who enjoys the spiritual work that I really love doing, you know, whether it be intuition or spirituality, who was into that and interested in that. That was really important to me so I could connect to them on that level. And I liked somebody who liked having fun the same way I did, who liked to dance and who liked to do yoga and meditation and all that kind of stuff. And so that was, you know, that's pretty, well, and the other thing, too, I forgot to say that I wasn't willing to move, so he had to move here, like Placid. See how clear and specific that is? So you need to first make your list of what you consider your ideal partner. And specific means, you know, what sorts of things is a must for you. Now, if other things are not a must, for example, I asked for a height thing, you know, between 5'8 and 5'10. If that's not important to you, then don't put it in there. You know, I mean, it was important enough for me to mention it because, you know, I liked pair skating. That was important to me. But anything that is important to you, even if you don't know how you're going to manifest it, put it in there. You know, make your laundry list, make your wish list as detailed and specific as possible. So that's the first step, and there's a lot of questions in the Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life ebook that sort of points you in the right direction of being as clear and specific as possible, and that's your very first step. In fact, I have a friend, Christina, and I told the story before that, you know, she was a little bit tired of dating and just, I don't know, not getting anywhere, and she finally, you know, wanted to settle down and wanted to find a man who she could get married and you know, live happily, and so all she did was she wrote this list down of all the attributes she wanted in a guy, and within 3 weeks, she met the man. Now, they didn't get married in 3 weeks, but, you know, she met him, and they got to know each other, and finally, you know, they got married, and I mean, they just have a great time together. And there are a lot of other steps to manifesting, but sometimes you just need to do the first one. So I would encourage all of you to go ahead and do that first step, which is to make your laundry list. And then the second step, which I've done in some of my teleworkshops, is summarizing everything that you want in a couple of sentences and putting it into the language of the universe. And I usually do this in writing first. So putting it in the language of the universe means putting it in a way that the universe understands it, and the universe understands here and now. So you need to rewrite your wish in the present tense as if it's happening right now. And then you need to embody your wish come true. In other words, you need to pretend, if you will, with all the cells of your body that you already have that wish and that person is already here in front of you. And you're already having a loving, wonderful relationship. And there's lots of wonderful exercises that that I take you through in the either the teleworkshops or the live workshops where you can actually feel with the cells of your body that that person is there already in front of you. So that these are the first crucial steps in manifesting. So number one, be clear and specific, asking for the universe what you want, no matter if you think you can get it or not, just ask for it anyway. If it's important to you, ask for it. Number two is to pretend you already have it. And there, like I said, many exercises that you can do to embody that possibility. And I do believe that I have on my website, www.lawofattractionandlove.com, that if you purchase the ebook, I believe that we still have the promotion going that you will get the set of teleworkshops, downloadable version of the teleworkshops for free. That's worth, I don't know, $150 or something like that. And I actually just recently put on there one of the processes that we do to get your body vibrating at that level of already having what you want in the now is a hypnosis, a self-hypnosis download that you can burn onto a CD and listen to with your iPod or you know, CD player or whatever. So that is a bonus that comes with creating your Fairytale Love Life ebook. And that currently, that promotion is still going on as far as I know. I know it's ending sometime in the fall. But so if you get the book now, that you will get forwarded to a website where you can download the teleworkshops with some of these processes as well as the clinical hypnosis, sorry, the new reality hypnosis and the clearing hypnosis downloads. All right, so those are the first couple of steps, and I highly encourage you to do that first. And then once you get past there, then, you know, pick up a copy of the book and you can do the rest of the steps. And one of the steps is clearing obstacles, which we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. I have, let's see, a question here from Gila. Or is it Gila? I'm not really sure how to pronounce your name. Hi, Dr. Karen. How can the law of attraction be used to attract a specific person, one that you know to be your true love undoubtedly? Is there a way to pull this person to your life even though he initially has no interest? Well, Gila, it kind of depends on whether or not you resonate at the same vibration or frequency with each other. Oftentimes I get letters from people that are totally, totally in love or infatuated or whatever we want to call it to somebody that they know already, but that person has absolutely no interest in them. And all it means is that they aren't the right person for you because you're not vibrating at the same rate, at the same frequency. It doesn't mean they can't get there, but the more you try to make them get there, the more resistance they usually have, and then you're just in a no-win situation. So what you can do is do what Susanna Gratz did, and you can read her testimonial on my webpage, www.lawofattractionlove.com. You can use the energy that you feel for this person and put them on your vision board or put them in your visualizations and visualize that you're having a happy life together. But while you're doing that, understanding that it may not be him. Okay, this is a very key point. You can use how you feel about this person to manifest your ideal love partner and at the same time be unattached that it has to be him. What if there's someone better out there for you? You cannot know without a shadow of a doubt that he is your true love undoubtedly. Why? Because he's not interested in you. That's why. Okay, I'm not trying to be harsh here. What I'm saying is that the perfect ideal partner for you is someone who matches everything you want and is totally ready and open for a relationship with you. And I had this problem early on before I manifested James. I manifested another love partner where, you know, I hadn't gotten into as specific as I did with my wish list yet. So I manifested this guy who had great energy. We really resonated on many levels, and I'm very attracted to him and vice versa. Well, the only problem was is once we started having a relationship was that I was ready to move forward and get deeper in the relationship, but he wasn't, you know. So he kind of like turned tail and ran the other way. And I'm thinking, well, good thing I have really great, and still do, really great self-esteem by that time, because I was like, what's his problem? You know, it was sort of like, well, I don't know. I think I'm a really great catch. And I can't understand. He's running the other way. Oh, well, you know. And so we ended up, you know, not going forward. And I was angry for a while, you know, because I had not come up with that issue before of you know, somebody, you know, resonating with me on one level that well, and then just like freaking out and leaving. And he wouldn't admit he's freaking out. But anyway, that he just, you know, couldn't handle it, didn't like it, you know, stopped resonating, you know, with me, just did not feel it was correct. And so we you know, I needed some space from that person, but then later on, we became friends again. We don't hang out that much, but, he's very, I love him. He's a great guy, you know. It just wasn't right. And why it wasn't right was, although we connected on an energetic level in many ways, he wasn't available. He was not emotionally available to the level that I needed and wanted a partner to be. So I added that into my wish list. So that's what I would say for you to do, is add that into your wish list. And you can use this person in your visualization, but be very careful not to be attached that it has to be him, because somebody else may walk into your life who's 10 times better for you. Okay? So really, really understand about that attachment piece. The more attached you are, and if he's in, you know, if he feels that attachment and he's not ready, you're going to be in resistance. And not only will you not get that relationship you want, you will block all the other wonderful relationships that could be happening from coming to you. So I get that question a lot, everyone, about, you know, people wanting a particular person in their life. And you know what? I tried that. I tried that really hard many times. You know what? Doesn't work. It doesn't work really well. It creates a lot of heartache, though. I have to admit that. Anyway, let's move on. So this is one from Passion. Passion writes, I am wondering how do I attract a specific guy who's moved out of the state? I really don't know, but would like to develop a friendship with, and possibly more with this particular guy. So I think same goes for you, Passion, is that the ideal thing is for you not to get attached to this particular person being your ideal partner. And what happens sometimes, though, is once you're attracted to somebody, then your wish list goes out the door. You guys ever have that happen? You've made your wish list, and all of a sudden you get attracted to someone, and they don't match some things on your wish list, so you just throw the wish list out the door. And pretend it never existed. You know what? It's okay. It's okay if you did that, because for whatever reason, you may need to experience whatever you're supposed to learn from this particular partner right now. So, hey, that's okay. Just know that if you're enthralled with this particular person and you're trying to manifest this particular person, you're not going to leave space for the universe to give you somebody better or more suited to you. So just understand that piece of it. So you can go ahead, and if you have somebody in mind, if they resonate with you, then you will, you know, connect in the future at some time, at some place. And, you know, I don't know if you know where this person lives or how to contact them. I'm not really sure. But you can try it out, you know, and just see how that feels. What I would like to do, though, is just to tell everyone and tell you that, you know, make your wish list. You know, make your wish list and make sure that you're true to yourself. So you do not give up what you want because somebody else has come along who sort of matches parts of it but not all of it, and you're settling. So I don't want you to settle, because you can get what you want in the big scheme of things. And so sometimes the universe gives you these little testers in between just to see if you'll fall for it, whether you'll stay true to yourself and true to what you really want. So So just keep that person in your visualizations, and also at the same time ask the universe to help you clarify whether or not this person is, you know, ideal or for your higher good. And you will find out the answer. All right, let's see who's next. Got a couple minutes left. We got a couple more questions here. This is from Lisa. Is it possible to get with an ex-boyfriend if you broke it off? It's been about 3 weeks since we last spoke. Well, Lisa, yeah, anything's possible. Again, just like I answered some questions before, you can't make a person love you. You can't make them want to be with you. And obviously, you know, if he broke it off with you, you're probably sad and you know, missing him. And that's totally understandable. It's been about 3 weeks. And even though it's possible to get together with him, the more you can really, number one, truly acknowledge your feelings and let them be there, you know, for the time being. And then when you're ready, choose to let some of that go, the more open and attractive your energy is going to be for your ex-boyfriend. Now, there might be somebody even better than your ex-boyfriend out there for you. Probably after 3 weeks, now's not the time for you to entertain that thought. It's probably kind of uncomfortable and foreign because all you think about is, you know, wanting your ex-boyfriend back, and that's totally understandable. All I can say is that on his end, that he is wanting space for whatever reason. It could be as someone else. It could be he just wants space. And the best thing you can do is to love and accept him fully. And that is the ultimate we can ask of anyone in a relationship. And so if you're really wanting him to be in your life, then you need to give that to him, that love and respect, which in this case means giving him the space. It means respecting his need for space and wanting him for space and wanting space. And you know what? You can write him virtual letters, which means these are letters you do not send, and see if you can get into some sort of vibration where you can honor his choice. Because when you can truly let go, and 3 weeks may not be long enough for you to get to that point where you can do this, but when you can truly let go of having to have him as your boyfriend and you can truly let him be and do whatever he feels is best for himself and honor that. You can communicate that through his virtual letter where you can say, look, you know, I really miss you. I really love our connections. I love the times when we did XYZ. I feel XYZ when I'm around you. And at the same time, I'm understanding that you need space, and I'm very sad about that. But I'm trying my best to let you have that space and just know that I'm thinking of you and I wish you well. And I'm giving you the space because I love you, and this is what you're asking. You know what I mean? So it's a hard virtual letter to write. Even I know you're not going to send it, but even to write it that way can be really, really challenging because your whole being just wants to grab onto him and not let him go. But your best bet is to do your best as time goes on to let him go because the energy of grasping and neediness of wanting him back actually repels him. So, you know, it's so many. We have so many movies about this, but we don't seem to get it, do we, in our society? But the more open and loving and letting go you can be, the more attractive your energy is, not just to him, but to everyone. So, you know, I wish you well. I know it's a hard thing to go through, a breakup. But see if you can get into self-compassion mode and then compassion mode for him as well. Next question is from Lauren. This is very close to the other one. I want to be loved again by my ex-boyfriend. He just stopped calling after 3 years. What do I do? Or even move on would help. Well, so it sounds like you're asking, what do you do or what do you do to move on? Well, your ex-boyfriend may have given you a gift in stopping calling you because throughout these 3 years, it sounds like you've still been very attached to him and wanting him to be your partner, even though you're exes. And it sounds like now is the time, you know, for you to let go because you're obviously not together and you're not building a life together. And he's chosen space. He's chosen the need for space. And in order for you to manifest a good relationship, a happy relationship, you will need the space as well from that ex. So your job is really to look at all the feelings and acknowledge them, all the feelings that you have about this old relationship, whether it be, you know, happy, sad, resentful, angry, you know, stuff like that. And bit by bit, piece by piece, let those feelings resolve or let those go so that you can have emotional space for someone in your life. As long as you hang on to this person emotionally in the back of your thoughts, wishing and hoping and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it will block other things from coming to you. Because your emotional energy is in the past, not in the present. The more energy you have in the present, this is about being big, again, big energy, passionate energy, the more energy you have in the present, the bigger your vibration in the present, the easier it is to manifest things. And we have an old relationship that's 3 years old and you're still hanging on emotionally, that's like an anchor to your past. And there's not enough energy in the present for you to manifest the good things in your life, the happy things. So you may very well need some support, either some coaching or some counseling to help you bit by bit resolve some of those attachments and resolve some of that energy that's going into the past so that you can manifest happy things and things that you want and a good relationship in the future. So if he stopped calling and he wants space, you know what, that's a pretty definite sign that it's time for you to move on. So I bless you in moving on, and it can be a challenging journey, but I think it's a huge opportunity spiritually for you to grow from this. It may not seem like it right now. It may seem like you don't want to do this, but it's a huge opportunity. And I so thank you for writing, and especially, you know, you and Lisa, I mean, just going through some tough times, and I really feel for you. It's not easy, and it's not overnight, but get some support and understand that everything is as it should be and is meant to be, and it's your opportunity to grow. All right, so everyone, thank you very much for hanging on here. I know I did an extra long show today because we had lots of questions, and I wanted to get to everyone's questions before I take off. Next week, I'm actually going to Wizard Training Camp. Yes, Wizard Training Camp with Peak Potentials, one of my favorite guru teachers, T.R. Becker and Peak Potentials. I went to Enlightened Warrior Training Camp last year, and Enlightened Warrior was an amazing training camp, and I learned that nothing can stop me, and I'm not afraid of anything. Oh, my gosh. I so highly recommend it. If you've ever had fear stop you, go to Enlightened Warrior Training Camp. I think one of my blogs, I talked about it, so you can actually go to my blog and search for that, Enlightened Warrior Training, where I talk about that. But anyway, the Wizard Training Camp is the ultimate manifestation camp. So I will be learning some deeper material there, and would love to share with you when I get back. All right, so next show, I believe, is on the 18th of August, and my next Ask Dr. Karen show. So thank you very much for listening, and if you are listening on the web, and if you mark me as your favorite, I would highly, highly be appreciative of that, marking my show as a favorite. And thank everyone for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of July. We'll talk to you in August. Bye.
I was wondering maybe maybe tomorrow afternoon can you come to the office? If you're all right. Well, what time do you think you'll finish eating lunch? Okay, so do you want to come by after that? Are you going to be able to get there? I'll be in the office working. I'm going to be there until about 6:30. And you may not have to stay that long either, so. Okay. Well, yeah, it's, you know, at the office, it's not, there's not a ton of, like, there's just, like, charts to put away and, you know, And there'll be sort of little things here and there, and then I may actually bring something for you to work on your own because you have a computer, right? And you have, let's see, you have Microsoft Word. What do you have? Oh, it works. Is it? Okay, so what do you use for word processing? Oh, okay, so what's the end, you know how it says dot, whatever, DOX or DOC, or what's the end three letters when you save a file? Oh, okay, yeah, I don't think you can open it. Do you have Notepad? Okay, because that'll save as a TXT file. Oh, I see, okay. So, yeah, Notepad, let me just go ahead and that. Yeah, that should be fun too. So, what kind of probably if you type something up, you could probably email it, right? For attachment, attachment. Okay. What I have here that I can give you to look at home is all the necessarily computer at work. Tomorrow I'll speak to it or something. Is type up the comment forms that I have from my workshop so far. And I have four because I forgot to do comment forms for my first one, which is you guys. And sort of type them up, you know, on page one by one. Yeah. So if we don't get to that tomorrow afternoon, I'll just have you take it home and just have you just log your hours and, you know, how much is okay, good. So I look forward to seeing you after tomorrow afternoon, whenever you can make it. Awesome. Thanks, Christy. Okay. Oh, did you have a question? Mm-hmm. It can be. One of the ways you can find out is by taking your blood pressure. I don't know if you know your blood pressure, but if you go to the pharmacy, they have usually a free one. But if your blood pressure is on the lowish side, so it's like, you know, 105 or lower on the top number, then you may experience dizzy spells. Yeah, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's worse, like if you lie down and get up quickly, your blood pressure may not be able to go back up quick enough. So that part is one of the signs. And I think in the book they have a couple of the tests in there. You know, the pupil test. Yeah. So assuming that you're not hungry or anything, your blood pressure might be on the low side, which is typical of adrenal fatigue. Yeah, you're welcome. All right, now. See you tomorrow. Yes, bye. They don't cover out of network. They should have covered that. What which is your scan? Okay. Is it the HMO version? Or the PPO or the EPO? There was one Excellus that they didn't cover, and that was somebody who worked at the college, and she believed it's an HMO. So they did have trouble with that. But everybody else that submitted stuff, we haven't had, I think she was the only one that didn't cover. I have a bunch of teachers that have Excellus, like a PPO or EPO plan, and they covered it. Oh, well, that company is, the actual lab is called Pharmasan Labs, PharmaSan. Yeah, so Pharmasan Labs, and they are a, contracted provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Yeah, the officer that you know, does require you to go with their network. Which is a shame because if you come around the network, the majority of the fee is actually the office visit, you know, not the acupuncture part. Do you have that Advanced Fatigue book by Dr. James Wilson? Okay, well, it's a good book to start. And I think that book's probably better than the other one, the Jacob Teitelbaum one that's from Fatigue to Fantastic book, has more stuff on fibromyalgia. It's not that it doesn't have the chronic fatigue stuff, but he's much more leaning towards Westerners and stuff. So, I mean, he has just as many, you know, natural remedies as he does the Western medicine stuff, but it's pretty heavy on the drugs. You know, which I don't use a lot of just because I don't get really good results. And maybe that's just my bias. But, well, also, too, you know, people get sick and tired taking 15 different drugs all day. You know, whether it be supplements or his protocol is challenging. When I first saw it, I'm like, I'm not doing this. Because it was like, okay, you can take this for sleep, and then you can take this for pain, and you can take this for, you know. And it was like 15 different supplements as a minimum. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't probably make those. It's going to drive me crazy, you know. So, James Wilson. And I have, I just let my copy of somebody. If you go to my website, iamacupuncture.com, and you click on the bookstore link, it's under adrenal fatigue. Yeah, you can buy it off the Amazon link there. If you do, I think I get 4% commission or something like that. But it's probably cheaper than trying to get it in locally. Not that I don't want to support locally, but the last time people tried, it was like 6 weeks, and then they didn't call them, and then they were such a pain. Kind of stopped trying. And it was full price, too. You know, whereas Amazon always, cuts it down. So even with the shipping, it's still cheaper a lot of times. The typical office visit, the first appointment is usually fairly lengthy, about 2 hours to 2.5 hours if you include the acupuncture treatment, which a lot of people do want to get treated right away. And so the office visit itself is $300, and the acupuncture part of that is, if you choose to do that, is an additional $75. And then on subsequent office visits, including acupuncture, is $170. Occasionally, I'll have a person I do have with a new fibromyalgia patient who's just really complicated. Like, she's just, she calls me 2-3 times a week, and it's just it's really complicated. I actually charge more for that. it's $225 for her. But for most people, it's $170 for a repeat visit. And occasionally, if somebody's sort of on maintenance and there's not a lot of labs, there's not a lot of change therapy, they're just getting acupuncture, and we just talk briefly, and there isn't a lot of other stuff, then it's a shorter office visit, and then that's $150. It usually takes a couple months to get there, but sometimes not ever, because there's always something going on. So it kind of depends on the person. Well, I think it depends on most people do respond to some sort of energy input, so in addition to the nutritional stuff, I just find it's faster. It's not absolute, like I have one person who was, oh my gosh, I'd love to touch puncture on her butt, she won't let me touch her with the needle. So on her, I do the sound table and the life rate patches, the patches that I use. And that's the best, that we can get, because she just can't tolerate needling. But she's more than open to take, supplements, so she's that part. going on, you know, what else is going on? We got to search for something else. And they make their own supplements. The neuroscience and the PharmaZen lab, they make their own targeted immunotherapy supplements. And on top of that, usually I find that the adrenal glandulars are really helpful. They just do the specialized ones, and then for the rest of the blood tests, I just use the local lab. So it's usually the lab, the hospital contracts with the lab. The hospital lab contracts with Excellus, for example. So if you have other physicians in the area that take Excellus, then it's probably, you know, even though my name's on it, they should, but they may have more strict rules, you know, as an EPO than some of the other stuff. I've worked with Josh for a long period of time, and so it was funny because I haven't seen him since I left the practice, but I heard through the grapevine that he was very upset with me for leaving. But I had definitely issues because he marketed himself as one thing, but when I got there to work with him, it wasn't that. You know, he couldn't cover me, my practice. I got together with him because he used to do acupuncture, and I thought he would do acupuncture about his way or whatever. He refused to, even though he knew how, you know, he had the same training, but he just said it just took too much time and he just wasn't that interested. And so, you know, he stopped, you know, doing that. And then, you know, I can't say we left on the best terms. So, probably it would not be my first choice. I would say, I would probably say Beth Bartos. This is the closest one, and that's, you know, the same building that was crossed for you guys. Like, what the hell? Yeah. I mean, they may not know exactly what I'm doing, you know, but, you know, her and I have a pretty good relationship, and a lot of times she's let me do whatever. Up. And then once somebody feels like, you know, it's pruned and it lasts, you know, a week or more, then we go to a longer period of time between appointments. But for some people, that can be like 3 to 6 appointments where they come weekly. Other people, it can be 2. Other people, it can be 10, you know, before they feel, you know, subjectively better. Say, well, they're, you know, they contracted with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Yeah, so are you guys your Blue Cross Blue Shield that I covered? Yeah, you can try it that way. Yeah. The last cost around, let's see, about 200 or 220, something like that. The only thing is, you know, you have to retest, you know, every 3 months or so. So you're talking about a couple of, what, 220 is, you know, that's what you want. Yeah, it sounds like there's, you know, that's pretty clear. But right, no, I understand. Oh, I didn't know you knew it that long. Oh, okay. I know we're longer than me then. Oh, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, so we probably should put you in, even if you decide later that you, for whatever reason, you know, don't want to come, because I'm booking into mid-September right now for new patients, and I'm usually in the office. Actually, I'm away for, you know, a week in July, a week in August, a week in September, a week anyway. So that week of the 15th, as far as I know, so that week, for sure, I'm in Tuesday, Wednesday, and probably Friday morning. So Tuesday, usually morning and afternoon. Wednesday is usually afternoon. Wednesday morning. Okay. Okay. I usually, because of my own adrenal issues, don't start that early. Yeah. So 9:45, and so that's on the 16th. And like I said, usually you're in the office, and like I said, I would highly encourage you to do the acupuncture. It's about 2.5 hours. Yeah, cool. Yep, so about 2 to 2.5 hours. And then I'll just email you the forms you can fill. No. Oh, I'm getting a peek here. Okay, cool. All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye. Hello? Yes. Oh, hi. Oh, you know, he's at an appointment. He should be back probably around 4. Yeah, you should. Oh, what time is it there? Oh, it's 2:15. Okay, so we're an hour ahead of you. So that would be 3 o'clock your time. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Take care. Bye.